He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the weekend in review edition of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson and CFA and certified financial planner Barry Kite. It's been a wild week, Barry. You hanging in there today?
I am. I had my normal course of Dramamine, and I think we're keeping everything down.
Yeah, it's been a wild week in the market, and hopefully, you know, my 21 years of experience as a professional money manager and a one-time analyst writing up individual stock reports and doing this show for 21 years, writing a newsletter for the last 21 years, your years of experience as a chartered financial analyst, as a certified financial planner. I'm sure there's a lot of people out there looking for a little bit of answers and a little bit of a way forward and what our current take is on the market. But it has been a tough week, okay, but we got to put that into perspective. The market's been going up since 2009. You know, there's been a couple of you know, we had the COVID year. Other than the COVID year, the market, for the most part, has been in a bull market for the last 12 years. And I have been bullish on the market for the last 12 years, but I'm a market timer. I know that eventually we'll have another deep recession. We'll have another bear market out there. And I guess the question on a lot of folks' minds right now is, well, is this the big one? Will the Omicron bring the market to its knees? Will the Fed speeding up its tightening here and starting to taper, will that bring the market to its knees? Well, we'll do our best to answer those questions during the next hour that we have with you. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson. Professional money manager for the last 21 years, CEO of Gunderson Capital Management, former stock analyst, written a newsletter for 21 years about the market. I consider myself to be a market timer, but not in and out on a weekly or monthly basis. I like to play the big trends. And, of course, this current big trend has been in place since 2009. We were just hitting new highs in the market, what, 2 weeks ago, Barry, on the Dow?
Right, yeah. And
the,
it seems a couple of months ago, but yeah, it was just, I mean, just before Thanksgiving, I believe, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes. Okay. And now, you know, one of the lessons that I've learned in the market, and I like to really amplify this message and get this message out so that people understand the markets a little bit better. The biggest reason that the market has gone up for the last 12 years is because the earnings of the S&P 500 companies, that's the after-tax earnings, after everything is paid, what's left over, that's earnings. Those earnings have been growing for the last 12 years in the S&P 500. You can look that up. I mean, that's public information out there. Just Google earnings of S&P 500 and you'll see that. And you'll see that the market has tracked right along with that growth in earnings, okay? That's one of the great lessons that you can learn by listening to our show, whether it's the Saturday show, the weekend review show, or whether it's our daily shows, Monday through Friday, which you can listen to live on our website at GundersonCapital.com, or the archive shows. You can listen to those at your leisure at GundersonCapital.com. So it stands to reason that if earnings have been going up for the last 12 years and the market has followed those earnings upwards for the last 12 years, we need to know what the forecast and the outlook is for the next 12 years. Well, we can't look out that far. But we can certainly look out to next year and the year after that and base some calculations on that. You know, Barry, last week, I'm a weekend warrior. I live on the Wando River in South Carolina, which is a pretty prolific fishing area this time of year, especially for redfish and flounder and trout. Last Saturday, I went to a new area that I've never been in before, over off the Intercoastal Waterway. Barry, I was completely lost. There's miles and miles and miles of streams that go through the marshes there. And every once in a while, a fishing guide would whiz by me, you know, leave about a 3-foot wake as he's going 40 miles an hour through these streams and inlets and whatnot. I had really no idea where to even begin because it's a vast space geographically. And those fishing guides, they have a big advantage over me because they don't just go out on Saturday. They're out there all the time. They've lived here all their lives, probably most of them. I moved here from San Diego about 3 or 4 years ago. So I'm at a tremendous disadvantage. And, you know, I would liken a guys like you and I, we're fishing guides in the market. We're in it every single day. You know, I begin my day at about 6:30, really, looking at the news from the previous day, how the markets are doing in Asia and Europe, all the earnings news that's happened since the close of the market the previous day, all the analyst upgrades and downgrades. And, of course, you as a chartered financial analyst, you're pretty keyed in on all the big economic reports that come in almost on a daily basis. And so, you know, I would think that we would have somewhat of an advantage of the weekend warrior or the, you know, the after work, let's look at our portfolio type of thing. And I like to then tell people what I'm observing in the market, you know, being in it every day, and giving our listeners some insight as to what we see. You hear the headlines, and sometimes the headlines are downright scary. This past week, I think it was Monday, was it Tuesday, where all of a sudden, you know, Omicron, or it was last Friday, I guess, a week ago Friday, that Omicron showed up in South Africa, which is a new variant of the COVID, and we know what the first outbreak of COVID-19 did and what it did to the markets and the economy, brought it to its knees. And so far we're hearing that this is contagious, but so far we're hearing of pretty mild symptoms, especially if you've been vaccinated. And then, of course, this past week we were hit again with the first Omicron virus showing up. Now it's in 5 states. And in addition to that, we had news from the Fed that they are wanting to speed up the taper of their bond buying. And in fact, I see today that the International Monetary Fund, this has sent the market south here real quickly, is urging the U.S. to step up its tapering to curb inflation. So you've got some crazy forces going in the market right now. Is it pretty safe to say that this last week for us as professionals in the market was a bit of a roller coaster ride, Barry?
It certainly, with probably, you know, a few more drops than the old click, 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 click to get you up to the top. But, you know, the primary reason, you know, I think certainly is interest rates. And, of course, you had, you know, I think some of the noise in the market is partly around the new Omicron variant. And so, you know, our job is to kind of, you know, fiddle through, hey, here's all the information coming in. We have to decide, hey, what, you know, what's relevant, what's more, what should we, you know, weight heavier than others, right, in terms of news. And, you know, I think certainly through all the COVID noise, you know, it's really been about interest rates and inflation, you know, this week, you know, mainly, primarily, Powell's comments in front of the Senate on Tuesday, and then, of course, again, in front of Congress on, you know, in front of the House on Wednesday.
Yeah, and the other thing I would say is that over the last 12 years of bull market, where the S&P has gone from 660 to 4560 or 4760, We've had 71 panic attacks like we've had this past week. And each time those panic attacks have been overcome and the market breaks out to new all-time highs. So we have to ask ourselves this time, is this the big one? Will Omicron and the Fed reversing its easy money policy a little bit, not a lot, a little bit, will that it bring the halt to this 12-year bull market? And I would just say that where we're going to go next with our discussion, you know, it all comes down to earnings, earnings, earnings. What impact will these two news events have on the earnings of the S&P 500 next year and last and the year after that? Because that's what the market is looking to. Now, I publish that in my newsletter every week. You can get 2 free weeks of the newsletter at GundersonCapital.com. Gunderson, S-O-N, Capital.com. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now Weekend Review show. Well, you know, the biggest problem for, I would say, the average individual investor out there, the do-it-yourselfers, who we have a lot of people that listen to the show and subscribe to the newsletter and get my live trading alerts and subscribe to my BestStocksNowApp.com, they're do-it-yourselfers. Emotion is a big enemy of the individual investor. And consider, you know, I was listening to Ed Yardini the other day, who's a pretty good macro outlook kind of guy on the market, very good. I like him a lot. He was saying that he's kept a little diary of panic attacks since 2009. He's up to 71, okay, this Omicron, and I suppose the Fed kind of saying, announcing a taper sooner rather than later, probably, you know, before the end of the year. That's our friend Jay Powell at the Fed. This is number 71 as far as panic attacks go. The worst thing an investor can do is to react to every panic attack. When the market's gone from, the Dow's gone from 6,600 to 37,000 since 2009. Barry, I don't think you would have been the beneficiary of those results had you, you know, even given in to half of those panic attacks, right?
Right. Statistically, you always hear the biggest mistake for individual investors is being out, you know, missing the biggest days in the market. And, you know, there's tons of research. Just Google, you know, if you miss the 10 biggest days in the market in the last 20 years or the 20 biggest days in the market the last 20 years, what, you know, what's your return compared to the market? And it's a big deterrent. I mean, lots of people think of, you know, one decision in terms of getting out of the market, right? I'm going to sell out and go to cash. Well, it's really two decisions. One is when to get out. The other one is when to get back in. And so a lot of folks make the mistake is, you know, on the second side is, you know, overthinking it and or overanalyzing, and then, you know, really just, you know, never pulling the trigger to get back in the market, which is the ultimate mistake.
Yeah, and, you know, the other issue is here is at the same time, there has been these 71 panic attacks over the last 12 years. One of these times, okay, so far it's been like the boy who cried wolf. None of them turned out to be the big one. And the bull market continued on its merry way. In fact, this is one of the longest bull markets in the history. This was a real chance to really pad your 401k and your IRAs and to make a lot of money. And if you just understand that concept of how the market follows earnings and have been following along with these S&P 500 earnings every week and the forecast going forward, to me, that's the best indicator, the best guide of all. It's not the doom and gloom newsletters out there. It's not the people that they parade on the financial channels that are pretty much perma-bears. It's not any one technical indicator, the 50-day moving average, the 200-day. We saw the Dow go below its 200-day moving average this past week, for the first time in a long, long time, and the NASDAQ slipped below its 50-day. But for me, 21 years as a professional money manager, the best indicator that I have found is the earnings forecast going forward for the S&P 500. And I key on that every week. That in the newsletter that I write for, it only goes out to our clients, which we have clients all over the country with our fee-based management business and the portfolios that we manage. And it also goes out to the many subscribers who subscribe to my newsletter, my beststocksnowapp.com, and the live trading alerts on the four or five, six portfolios, I guess, something like that, that I manage on a daily basis. That macro outlook is what guides me in the big picture, and it's also in the newsletter every week. And we do offer out a free 2-week trial to people that want to explore it, whether you're a do-it-yourselfer or looking for a little bit more active management than the common asset allocations that are offered in today's world for the most part. And again, you can go to my newsletter at GundersonCapital.com to get those 2 free weeks or call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, eventually, I believe, I know, it's not a matter of if it will happen, it's when it will happen, is earnings will finally peak on this current cycle of expansion for the S&P 500, estimates will start to be ratcheted lower, on a regular basis. The last time this happened was 2007, which was the precursor to the 2008-2009 bear market, which took the S&P 500 down 53%. Now, I can't promise that I'll pick the very, very top of the market, the S&P 500, but the signs will start to show up. Okay, you know, right now there's not a lot of signs that the S&P 500 is topping out. Certain areas certainly are, you know, certain sectors certainly are. But we're starting to see some weakness here and there. The jobs report was terrible this past week. 200,000 jobs created. We were expecting 550 jobs. 550,000 jobs. We have a Fed that, you know, has been uber easy for really since 2009. And it's not that they're getting uber tough and tightening. I mean, they're only talking about the very first phase of reining in the loose money, which there's plenty of it sloshing around still. And that's keeping this bull alive. But just talking about it, and we do know that they're now on a path of tightening, and that also it kind of comes at or near, not too far away from the top in the market. Would you agree with that, Barry? The actions of the Fed,
certainly, and you want to look historically too. I saw analyst predictions in terms of how high does the Fed funds rate get. You know what the number I think is right now? I think it's 1.25 or something. It's like 1.25 is historically basically zero. When you look at it, where we've been historically, I think. Yeah, I think what we got coming out of 2008-2009, I think eventually before, even during Powell's first Grinch moment, what we got to maybe was it 3 or 3.25 at most? I mean, so you got to put it in context. We are in for higher interest rates, but, in reality, how high can we really get when you compare to the rest of the world? I mean, you got Germany still at negative rates. It's all relative in my book. So,
yep, and we do have a bit of an inflation problem too. It's not transitory. There's no question about that, and that also has to be weighed into this whole discussion. But the key is not to give in to each panic attack that we have in the market. If you're doing that, well, I've always said that it's better to get somebody involved who is a little bit more past the emotions of the market, looks at it from an earnings point of view, And that's where our newsletter for the do-it-yourselfer or for those that are looking for a money manager comes in. 2 free weeks at GundersonCapital.com. GundersonCapital.com. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunnarsson. 21 years in the trenches managing portfolios, former stock analyst, writer of the Best Stocks Now newsletter for the last 21 years, inventor of the BestStocksNowApp.com, which ranks about 6,000 different stocks, ETFs, mutual funds on a daily basis, and Barry Kite with me. Chartered financial analyst and certified financial planner. A couple of designations that don't come by easy. So hopefully we have a little bit of wisdom here to share with you. And I think a lot of people are wondering, is this panic attack number 71 during this last 12-year right. bull? Or is this the big one? Is this the nail in the coffin of the 12-year bull market? And I am a market timer. I am not a believer in, it depends on your age. You know, if you're 25, 35, you can ride through most of this with index and ETFs and whatnot. But if you're nearing retirement or at retirement, you can't afford to come back from another 53% hit, or even I witnessed an 80% hit to the NASDAQ back in the year 2000 during the dot-com bubble. And believe me, there are some bubbles out there in the market today in certain areas that are very, very frothy. So I guess my next subject would be active management versus passive management. And, Barry, during our time in the industry, I know your father was in the industry also, we've seen a massive shift away from active management to passive management. Explain the difference between the two and why you think that shift has occurred.
Yeah, and from active, a lot of it's been cost. And, initially active management, right, was really the only option. You didn't have as many, especially you take the mid-80s and going forward, the mutual fund industry wasn't as robust. I don't even believe ETFs really even existed in their, certainly not in their current form. And so, the drive to, gather assets, you've got, the larger and larger these firms have, became, the more and more, they wanted, an easier solution, if you will, to go ahead and get that exposure without having to, put in the work, really, frankly, of active management, where you're essentially, looking a lot like the index or becoming, very highly correlated to particular indices. And so the market, Vanguard, right, was one of the big movers, in that space. And then, they had a lot of success in terms of gathering assets, and the rest of the industry has followed really, in lockstep, probably I'd say probably over the last, 15 years, certainly since the mid-2000s. And the computer power has generated, made it easier, right, to put together these massive portfolios that essentially look like, the S&P 500 index or, whatever, particular indice they're following. And so that part has driven, investors to, passive management. And you also take into account, the 2010s. There weren't any true, I think there's really only one real, bear market, which was, very short lived in in late, 2018, hence the Grinch.
It was 4 months.
Right. Yeah.
It was 2020. It was the year of the COVID.
You had, the market was down for those few months, right around November of 2018.
The election.
And that was the
initial. Got a little nervous.
That was really the first, bear market in almost a 10-year period, which, help people get away with doing, indexing and that type of thing until, of course, you get a big pullback. Certainly last year, active management, completely destroyed, indexing. And so you know, investors have kind of a, you know, you get, once you get certain years down the road, right, you forget, you know, kind of what happened in the past. And then, of course, you know, it hits, and then it's like, oh, well, I don't know about this passive investing, right? And you kind of go back to active management. So that's a lot of it is historical as well.
It really tests your mettle as a passive investor when, you know, the market's having a big down day. You know, so I'm not a believer in the passive investing move. I think I call it the McDonald'sization or the Walmartization of the markets. Number one, I mean, price, obviously, the cost was a big attraction into Vanguard, the low fees and everything. And it does take all the emotion out of it. But these current asset allocations that, you know, a lot of certified financial planners are doing, it just takes into account your age. It doesn't take into account what's happening in China, you know, what's happening in interest rates, what's the Fed doing. It doesn't take into account the economy, just all kinds of things. It's based on
the law of
age.
Averages. Yeah, and the law of averages, right? It's like, you know, every 55-year-old is the same, right? And it's it just makes it it makes it really where the, you know, it's almost a dumbing down of the industry.
I hated to say it, but I'll let you say it. That's exactly what it is. Okay, so we haven't been dumbed down. I haven't drank the passive Kool-Aid. I still believe in being active to some extent. I mean, I look at every one of my holdings in each of my six portfolios that I manage, whether it's the dividend and growth portfolio, the ultra growth portfolios, the large cap growth portfolios, even the bond. I look at every single position every single day. Most days I do nothing. I try to be as passive. I would love to be passive. I would love to buy 25 stocks and take the next 10 years off, you know, come back in 10, you know, but you know what? You can't do that. Look at all the changes in technology. Look at how many companies have become obsolete. We're watching stocks like AT&T and IBM really become irrelevant and continue to hit new lows because of how technology has passed that by. That's another reason for being a little bit more active. And I think it's hard to be do any kind of risk control when you're a passive investor. As an active investor, you know, if a stock starts to turn on me, I can give you a perfect example. We sold DocuSign several months ago because I felt that it had run its course. It benefited wildly, like Peloton did and others, from the work from home thing. DocuSign is getting clobbered. It got clobbered this past week. I think it's down 40% after the earnings report. I didn't like the way it was trading, and I felt like it had run its course. But yet it's still in a lot of ETFs. It's still in a lot of index funds, etc. And I feel like I have more manageability over individual stocks that I own in these portfolios than just owning an ETF or not owning the ETF. I can cherry pick an ETF. There's a lot of garbage in an ETF, like a hot dog, right? Well, you know, right, a lot of filler in there.
Yep. And take mutual funds for an example. You take you know, Fidelity Contra Fund, great large growth fund over the years, had a great, you know, had great management initially, and you know, but you look at it, I think they own probably 500 to 700 positions. And there's not, you know, there's not a lot of guarantees in this business, and certainly a word, you know, almost a faux pas word in this industry. But, you know, our 25th best idea, right, is going to be better than their 500th best idea.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, that's just how it is. I mean, it's just how it is.
Here's one other point I would make, too, with, you know, an NFL team with the great offense. I was a big San Diego Charger fan for many years with Eric Coryell, but we didn't have the greatest defense. And Coryell never did quite make it to the Super Bowl. We would put up 54 points a weekend, every weekend with Dan Fouts and whatnot, but the other team would put up 56 points. It was good fun to watch, but you got to have a defense in the stock market. And, you know, I've publicly criticized or, you know, questioned, I guess, the ARK fund strategy of no defense whatsoever. And, you know, it's really showing up. I mean, her ARK fund is now down like 23, 24% since the beginning of the year. And her genetics fund is down about 35%. There's no defense whatsoever. Instead, it's a buy these transformational stocks and hold them until the transformation comes. That could be a long time, or it could never come. You have to have a defense, I believe, on every position you own and on the overall market when the earnings do at some point in time and the economy at some point in time does start to turn against us. Now, for that reason, we are active managers in today's world. We're kind of the black sheep, I suppose, these days when everybody's gone to passive. I just can't be passive in a very active world that is changing by the day rapidly. So if you'd like to get more information on our money management, the portfolios we run, how they've done, what's in them currently, our current macro outlook on the market, you can go to our website at GundersonCapital.com, GundersonCapital.com, and try out our newsletter or call us at 855-611-BEST. We'll be back for the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. Welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show with Bill Gunderson and Barry Kite of Gunderson Capital Management. And, of course, all of our radio shows, we do five per week, Monday through Friday, and then Saturday show. They're all archived on our website at GundersonCapital.com. As I said, I've been a professional money manager for the last 21 years. I've seen some things. I'm sure there are still things to come that I haven't seen, but I was there in the year 2000, March of 2000, to be more precise, when the NASDAQ finally peaked at 5,300 and then dropped by 80% on the back of the dot-com bubble. I have been warning about a few bubbles in the market recently. That I've witnessed. I said this electric vehicle bubble, when Rivian on day one had a bigger market cap than Caterpillar, I said, you know, something doesn't add up here. And, of course, Lucid and some others, Fisker, were at some pretty frothy valuations, some of the battery makers, et cetera. Some of them don't even have a product yet, never sold a car. And, you know, I still worry a lot. I've always said about the cryptocurrencies, you do what you want to do with them. I'm not going to put, as a professional money manager with a fiduciary responsibility, I'm not going to put my clients into the cryptocurrencies. Now, when will the next bear hit? Okay, in the year, if I go back to the year 2000, you know, we could feel it, that this thing it's gotten out of hand. The dot-coms, I mean, if you just announced news that you had a website and were now selling some of your product, your stock would go up 40, 50, 60%. If you announced a stock split, which is a non-event, you get twice as much of the shares at half the price, your stock would soar. And I think those of us that were professional money managers back then just knew that this was not going to end well. But yet there were a lot of cheerleaders back then that were still saying this is a new paradigm, this thing's going to continue to go, the Henry Blodgetts of the world and others. And there's those saying the same thing today, that there's no end to these transformational stocks that are going to supposedly change the world. Well, you know what? It always comes back to valuation. I mean, you as a chartered financial analyst know that better than almost any. You, how much time of what is it? A 4-year course? How? What?
It's three exams, and they offer, you know, essentially offered once a year. So it takes at least 3 years to get a hold of that one. And I think I think the first exam has about a 33% pass rate. So, you know, on average, yeah, it takes, you know, most folks probably roughly about 5 years would be my
guess. Yeah, how much time is spent on valuations of assets, right?
Right.
Stocks, yeah, bonds, a lot. Okay, so valuation does matter. It really matters. You can't just be buying a stock because they have a concept of a new car that will have a range of 300 miles or whatever, and maybe someday people will be buying. There's limitations, and eventually when there's a little fear in the market, those are the things that get hit first, and they get hit hard. But the overall market itself, let's take the S&P 500, which are 500 much more quality names, I would say, than the Fiskers of the world and whatnot. They've proven themselves, I would say, have more of a track record. Now it's going to come down to earnings. Okay, that's going to be the big key. We dropped in 2009, the S&P dropped to $53 per share. That was the total earnings for S&P 500. This year, we're going to come in at about $203 per share. Now, do you see the reason why the market has been going up since 2009? It's been following those earnings because those earnings traded a multiple. If you put a multiple on those earnings and they continue to rise, well, then the market's going to continue to rise. Now, that multiple could change a little bit. Right now, we're at a pretty rich multiple because of a very accommodative Fed. And if the Fed were to really start to tighten, if interest rates really started to jump, you would see the multiple contract even more than it has here in this past week. It's come down about a point this past week. It's gone from 22 to 21, which is still historically very high. The average is 16 to 17, 18 maybe, somewhere in there. We continue to support a high multiple because of the Fed. And we continue to grow those earnings. We're going to have record earnings this year. We've only got 3 weeks, 4 weeks left in the year. We're going to check in with record earnings. Now it's all about, you know, we just finished earnings seasons. These companies have been giving their forecasts for next year, and the analysts are putting their pencils to it and predicting, you know, the course they're on, what they'll do in 2024. We're looking out. Well, the average individual investor is looking at today. The market's looking out 2 years from now. And that's what I have to do as a professional money manager. That's called the macro outlook on the market. And when I start to see those earnings estimates, expectations be lowered, wow, then we're in trouble. Okay, that's when we're going to start taking very active management, getting out of the way of the next bear, which, you know, was 53% in 2009. It was 80% in 2000. And, of course, you're going to run to cash, and we go to use a few of these inverse ETFs. You know, you can buy the S&P 500, or you can buy the inverse S&P 500, which is SH, as a hedge. I know we've talked about a lot here in this hour. We do every Friday. But, you know, you can get a whole lot more. We build on each of these concepts and ideas in the newsletter every week. I mean, if whether you're a beginner, we have beginners that follow us. We have some of the most sophisticated investors around the world that follow us. There's something there for everybody in that weekly newsletter. We've been right about the market for the last 12 years. We even said that back in March of last year or during COVID that it was time to go all in because the market had already priced in this COVID thing. So will we continue to be right? Well, we'll continue to use the same concepts. We'll continue to follow earnings and earnings estimates and earnings expectations. And as always, we're going to look for the best stocks now, just like a baseball team would, looking for the best stocks that they can find to fill their portfolio or their team with. And, of course, there's a time when you don't want to have any players on the field. You want a little defense. Get our newsletter this week. I write it every weekend at GundersonCapital.com, GundersonCapital.com. Have a great weekend, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.